Before I even get into the message, I want to show you a video that kind of spoke very loud volumes to me, because my message title today is Walking in Somebody Else's Shoes. And you'll see I'm not wearing my Sunday best shoes. Now, there's a reason for that. There used to be a guy that came to this church. How many of you remember John Tampi? He served in the U.S. military, and a very, 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 very wonderful guy. The shoes that I'm wearing were the shoes that he wore in Afghanistan when he would go on patrol and everything. We just happened to have the same size feet. Just before he left Korea, I made a promise to him. I said, I'm going to walk a mile in your shoes. And I literally did walk a mile in his shoes, but I never walked literally in his life. But I was glad to be a part of his life. And I'm not sure how many of you know this, but during the 3 years that he was married, I think he had 6 months with his wife because he was either in Iraq or Afghanistan serving. And sometimes it's good to walk in other people's shoes to know where they've come from, meaning you got to get to know them, meaning you spend that relational time getting to know people. And so this video I want to show you is sometimes we can walk past a person and presume something about a person that we know nothing about until we get to know what's going on in their heart and in their lives. Matthew 7, 1 through 2, and verse 12. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. You know, when I watched this video, it really hit home to me that sometimes we misconnect or misunderstand the world around us, meaning the people that we pass by in the street, the people we work with, our friends, maybe our family, our coworkers, whoever the case may be. And sometimes we can make a prejudicial statement, means that we can prejudge something or someone without knowing what's going on. My challenge for everyone here today, myself included, because we're all works in progress, is that when you stop and ask someone, how are you today? And they say, oh, I'm fine. But you know different. Just say, no, tell me the truth. Many people, you know, it's quite ironic that people, you know, we look at people and we'll say to them, hey, how are you today? And, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm happy. But you know something is not right. Because some people are afraid to share what's going on in their lives. And we can make a quick judgment. And, you know, we got to take time to walk in somebody else's shoes. We got to take time to be with people. You know, I believe in evangelism. I believe in power evangelism, where people can be healed and all these miraculous things. But evangelism, more often than not, is relational. When you look at what Jesus did, when you look at how Jesus approached people and how it was relational, he connected with people. When it comes to making that right judgment, you know, how can I know that I'm not being hypocritical or judgmental? Well, you got to make those proper assessments in life and having the right motive that will affect not just yourself, but those around you. It is true that if I do to others what I would want to be done to me, that can either have consequences or its rewards. Sooner or later, in the end, if you're going to lie, it's going to come back around. You know, the principle of sowing and reaping, which we're going to get into, is not just a financial thing. It's a lifestyle thing. And when I was watching that video, I was moved that, you know, that there are different people who are going through different things. You know, the one guy, his tumor was benign, but the other guy's tumor was malignant. The little girl is going to visit her daddy for the last time. All of these different things. And the people around us, if we could just take a moment, You know, some there's been like a bunch of videos that people have been sending me, and I really get so excited when they send me videos that I'm thinking, oh, that's pointless. But then sometimes they send me videos that catch my attention. And there was one recently, and how many of you know what a goth is? And no, okay, somebody who's got black hair and they look like Marilyn Manson and all the rest of it. And he was on this show, America's Got Talent, and he's like, "What? So why are you here today?" And he said, "Oh, I'm going to sing." And he's never sung in front of anybody. Then all of a sudden, out of this weird-looking guy's voice came this angelic voice. It was an operatic voice. And I was like this going, wow. Because when I looked at him, and I'm thinking, oh, great, emo, you know, all gothic and all the rest of it. But he was all operatic. And I was just like, wow, how quick am I to judge a book by its cover without reading the contents? When it comes to judging correctly, we've got to have all the facts. We've got to have all the evidence. We've got to be able to sit down and know what that person's going through. You know, we live in a world that is very judgmental. We live in a world that is quick to judge, that is quick to look at somebody, you know, and make a presumptive statement, thinking they're correct. I mean, yesterday I had a great time with the guys, and there was Tim, there was Emil, myself, and we bumped into the good-looking George back there from Ghana. And it was really interesting because there was a Korean gentleman talking to him, and I'm thinking, this must be George's friend. So I'm talking away, and he's like, oh, hi, how are you? And I said, I'm fine. What's your name? I'm Jonathan. Where are you from? Oh, Wales. Oh, England and Scotland. Yeah. And but before that, he turned around and he said, oh, are you from Ghana too? I went, really? Do I look like I'm from Ghana? And it was just interesting, the conversation, because the man was deadly serious. He thought I was from Ghana, remember? George burst out laughing, and I'm like, oh, well. And it's interesting that, you know, people will make statements and say things without forethought or without any realization of the consequences or the rewards that it can have. When I think of true judgment, when you get to know who somebody really is, you got to look at the exercise of true mercy. And true mercy is not weakness, but the substance of proper judgment. The Puritan writer and pastor John Flavel said, it is greater mercy to have a heart that is willing to refer all to God and to be at his disposal than to enjoy presently the mercy we are most eager and impatient for. For in that God pleases you, and in this you please God. When it comes to looking at someone, when we read the text further on in Matthew chapter 7, it says, you know, You try to take the log out, you know, the speck out of your brother's eye, but then you don't realize the log in your own. And it's all about, God says, before you make a judgment, before you make a call on someone's life, before you try to be in the place of God, because he's the righteous judge, that we actually have to see through his eyes in order to see who they are and understand who they are. And Jesus said in John 7, verse 24, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. When I think about that, so often appearances can be misleading. Appearances, you know, you think of the Pharisees back in Jesus' day. They had the looks, they had the words, they had everything, but they lacked substance. They lacked mercy. They lacked truth. They lacked justice. And later on, one of the things I like about the Apostle Paul, when it comes to knowing the heart of your neighbor, you got to know your heart before God. And he said, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, the command to judge is not a requirement to be blind, but rather a plea to be generous. Jesus does not tell us to cease to be men by suspending our critical powers, which help distinguish us from the animals, but to renounce the presumptuous ambitions to be God by setting ourselves up to be judges. When I think of this, when it says judge not lest you be judged, the word here is kerino. And this word means it's a decided, it's the word that is to decide between two things or to make a clear, decisive decision. And given in the context of what Jesus is teaching, one can clearly see that Jesus is calling upon believers to weigh up all the evidence, to know who that person is, then make the necessary decision. The judgment that is firstly to be made by the believer is one of self-examination before God. What's the greatest commandment in the scriptures? Jesus said, love God with everything. And he said the other one is the second greatest one next to that is love your neighbor as your who? Yourself. That is a true reflection. And Jesus himself, God incarnate, God in the flesh, he himself embodied that law. He said everything, all the law of Moses, everything, the law of the prophets, and this is fulfilled if we can just do those two things. And if Jesus can do it, what is our excuse? Even the Apostle John, later on in his writings in 1 John, he turns around and he says, you know, how can you say that you love God and yet you hate your brother? And he says that a couple of times. But it doesn't matter where you are in the world or no matter who you are around, people generally love fault finding. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to look into somebody else's world and to look into somebody else's life and generally pick the faults out. Always, it's just so easy to do that. Look at media. Media loves to focus on the negatives of life. It's easy to point the finger. It's easy to make an accusation without knowing the necessary facts. But it's difficult to take time in knowing who that person really is. Because that would mean effort. That would mean to love them. That would mean patience. And that would mean understanding. That's what we're all meant to have as believers in Christ. These are qualities that we should be enhancing in our lives or developing or growing in our lives. But when you look at when Jesus often referred to people of the religious persuasion as hypocrites, especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he says, when he talks about the hypocrite, it's a person who has errors and problems of their own, but are very quick to overlook these things when judging or finding fault with others, with other people. They think they are better than everyone else. The difference between the hypocrite and the believer in Jesus Christ is that one is self-absorbed, or absorbed in self-satisfying service, which gives a very distorted view of who God is. And the other is a selfless in their service as they deal with reality. How many of you know the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector? Very, very interesting. The Pharisee comes in there and he stands there and he says, oh, look what I do, God. I tithe, I do this, I do that, I blah, blah, and he rattles off a list, and he says, I'm not like that tax collector over there. I'm not like that person. But that tax collector, who couldn't even lift his head to heaven and was just beating his chest, he said, Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Beating his chest. And Jesus said, which one of these men walked away justified? But more often or not, how many of us, when we will look at someone and just not see the diamond in the rough, we'll just see the dirt. When I think of Project Young Dumpo, when I think of the people that we go by, when I see the young ladies who are selling themselves, when I see young people who are homeless and everything else like that, I kind of ask myself, Lord, these are treasures hidden in darkness. Lord, may your light be exposed. May there be a window of opportunity for them so that they can just be redeemed by your love and that they can be given hope, that they can be diamonds for you, that they can shine for you. We look at people as though they were one big speck, not seeing the eye at all. Whereas Jesus saw first and foremost the eye, saw the child who had gone wrong. And because the publicans, the harlots, or the prostitutes, and the possessed saw this and realized, Jesus Christ sees us. He sees the real person in us. He sees that we are children, that we are loved, that God cares for us. and they grew well. Nobody had ever looked at them in that way before. You know, if we could just see the value of the people around us, if we could just see the value of the people that we walk by or we work with. Now, some of us really would like to change the people that we work with, but hey, God placed them there for a reason. And I can tell you why: to make you a better Christian, make you a better believer, make you a stronger believer. I thank God that I worked for the Ministry of Defense, and because it really rubber hits the road when you're working with it in a secular environment, and there's nothing like having your faith tested by those who don't believe, or those who say that they believe but live an alternative lifestyle. There's nothing quite like having that, how can I say, knowing that you're the salt of the earth and that you're the light of the world, and just being able to put that into practice. It's not easy, but I thank God because he helped me to see people for who they really are. Whether they realize it or not, they're orphans. And God sees he sees the lost as orphans, needing to be adopted back into the family again. As a Christian, we should only ever condemn that which is evil. You know the old saying, hate the sin but love the sinner? Sometimes that is so difficult. It's kind of interesting that God and the hypocrite condemns. You know that? So before one makes a judgment about someone else, examine your motives, your heart, and your own life. As I was saying earlier about the principles and the dynamics of reaping and sowing, Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says, do not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will reap from the flesh, reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit, reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. How many of you felt like giving up recently? Many of us. But the Word of God says, do not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap, you will reap, if you do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, every moment of your life is an opportunity. As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. Even my neighbor, yeah. Even my work colleagues, yeah. Even the person that shoulder barges me down the street, or if I'm being bumped by an Ajuma getting on the metro, yeah. And especially to those who are of the household of faith, in God's house. I mean, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you are what? My disciples. All men will see that you are doing good towards one another, and they will see that, and they will be impressed by that, they will be challenged by that, they will be confronted by that, and then they will be like, maybe there is something more to being a Christian than just going to church. Maybe it is about helping one another. Maybe it is about encouraging one another. Maybe it is about loving one another. Maybe it is just about sitting down and taking time to be with one another. I've said in times past, and I've heard it said before, that you know, money is a thing that comes and goes. We can give money. Oh, we can give money to the poor. We can give money to this. We can give money to that. And blah, blah. Time. What do you do with your time? Because every second goes forward, never backward. The only thing that goes backward is your memory of what if only, I wish I could have, but never did. Time is perhaps the greatest investment that you could ever make in somebody else's life. Learning to listen, sit down, have a coffee with that person. Maybe your work colleague is going through issues, and maybe that's why God put them there for a reason, so you can sit down and have a coffee with them and just say, what's going on in your life? Be the love of God to that person. Do to others as what you would want to be done to you. If you're going through something right now, wouldn't you like it for somebody just to come alongside? Like, you know, somebody said, I heard this story before. Don't worry, Jesus is with you. Yeah, but I want somebody in the Jesus in the flesh right now. I need somebody. Christ in you. The world will see Christ in you. And I can imagine some of you, whatever you're going through right now, all you want is somebody just to come alongside and just listen to you. Someone just to come alongside you and just say, hey, you know what? You're not alone. Hey, you know what? I'm with you. Yeah, I'm going to stand with you. I love it. And like some Friday nights when I send it out, please send in your prayer request and I will stand with you in you're not alone. We need to stand together. You know, I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. He said, you know, together we stand, divided we, together we stand. And the fact is that when we look at the golden rule, do to others as what you would have be done to you. The golden rule is something that can be understood as a moral maxim or a moral principle of general altruism expressed by mutuality between a doer and others, reflecting a greater extent and benevolence evoked, meaning you show a greater love to the world around. This would mean a brief expression of a general truth, a principle of rule of conduct for the unselfish concern for the welfare of others. To apply the truth was selflessness and love with the intent of making it applicable to all. Can you pass me the teen challenge thing right there, please? One of the things that we have on here is our core values. And one of the core values is servanthood. And underneath that, we define it like this, dedicating ourselves to the success of others. My life alone is dedicated to the success of others because I want to see others succeed. I want to see others become better because somebody did that for me 17 years ago. June 23rd, when I came to the Lord in 1996, and I've never looked back. Have I had my highs? Yes. Have I had my lows? Yes. Have I had my challenges? Yes. Have I had my seasons of comfort? Yes. But in all those things, Christ remains consistent. But I learned that through other people because they became that example to me, because they invested that time in me. They were dedicated to my success. And by my success, they become successful. And that's always been my desire for people that I come across here in Korea and when they come to this church. How we like to be treated will be reflected in how we treat other people. And of course, there is a divine dynamic at work in this truth. For example, as I've already said, if I lie to someone, then I will be lied to. People lie on a daily basis. Oh, no, I only told a half truth. A half truth is a whole lie. I only told a little lie. Oh, it's a big one in front of God. If I respect someone, then I will be respected. You know what was interesting to me? I learned respect through my grandparents. Because my grandparents were devout believers. And they were dedicated to the success of others. Because they used to open up their home to missionaries from all over the world. That's why I got to eat some really delicious foods. Like sheep's brains. And bull's heart and liver and kidneys and offal and all those great things that I think prepared me for Korea, to be quite honest with you. My grandparents showed me respect because they understood value. And it was through my grandparents that I began to respect other people. And it just followed on and followed on and followed on from that. If I am kind to someone, then someone will be kind to me. You know, sometimes when we talk about the law of sowing and reaping, it's like, oh, I'm sowing, huh? No. It's something that takes time. When God sees what you need something, that's when it comes around to you. If I help someone, then someone will help me. This is the dynamic law of sowing and reaping. As I've already said, that in Matthew 24:37-40, you know, he gives us, you know, the law is summed up in all this one particular statement, this one truth, this one command, love God with everything, your heart, mind, soul, body, strength, everything. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Notice when Jesus said, these two commandments depend on all the law and the prophets. This is reflected when others are treated as we want to be treated, for this is the law and the prophets in Matthew chapter 7. So loving your neighbor, in essence, would mean to step into your neighbor's shoes, meaning spend time with them. Say, as you already saw on here, see what they see, hear what they hear, feel what they feel. What does Paul say? He says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Feel the need, not need the feel. Feel the need, meet the need. At some point in daily living, we got to make a judgment call. Some may be minor, some major. And having proper judgment in the day and age in which we live in is important. Having the right timing in sharing your faith with someone is very important. And treating others as you want to be treated is highly important. And so I'm going to leave you with some very basic principles that will help you and I in reaching out to people. Examine yourself before you make judgments about other people. Meaning, walk a mile in their shoes first. Remember mercy as you have been given mercy. Condemn that which is evil by hating the sin, but not the sinner. Don't waste your time or your finances on scavengers. Ooh, and those who don't treat what you have with great value. Meaning your time. Always ask for God for discernment in all things, with all people, and put into good practice the law of sowing and reaping. Jesus is someone that has given us the truth. It's clearly written, clearly defined in His Word. And there's only two ways that we can go about that. We can either accept that, what He has said, or reject that, what He has said. One of the things I love about the Church of Jesus Christ is that it's filled with wounded people. Wounded people that Christ wants to heal. People who have scars who can say, yeah, I know what it's like to be wounded. You see this scar? I've been healed from that. And maybe that you're here today and people have made misjudgment calls about you. And it's affected you and how you relate with other people and your relationships with other people. Because there's that sting. Maybe God wants to deal with you on those things, on those levels. Maybe God's provoking you inside. He's prodding you inside just to say, listen, you need to learn to reach out a little bit more to the world around you. And not get so angry. Not get so bitter. Not get so unforgiving. Learn to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes. Get out of your own. God's desire is that His house would be filled. My desire too, but God's greater desire. And as we heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you would say, yes, I have felt the sting of other people's judgments. I have felt the sting of the sting of heavy criticism that wasn't constructive, but it was more deconstructive. Yeah, that's me. I'm hurting. I have a wound. If that's you, put your hand up right now, and I will pray for you. Thank you. And perhaps you're here today, and you're like, you know what? I am lacking in discernment in dealing with people. And I would say, Lord, yeah, I need discernment. I need strength. I need your grace. How many of you here would say that I need that today? Lord, touch those people now. Lord, bless the work of your hands. Revive the work of your hands. Revive your people. Strengthen us. Meet the needs that only you can meet. God, you're amazing. Your grace is amazing.